How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. And according to Sam, our other friend here at Fireside Yankees, Daddy Stanton is going crazy lately. Daddy Stanton had 3 home runs yesterday, and Ryan has some pretty interesting statistics to give you on how far that ball actually traveled if you combine all 3 of the home runs. Stanton looking like his vintage self. Again, spring training, really don't know what he's going to look like during the regular season, but the process looks better. His swing looks better. He's catching up to the fastballs. He's catching up to the off-speed pitches. And we're kind of seeing him look like the old version we got a couple years back and the version that we haven't seen in a couple seasons. Now, staying healthy is paramount. It's imperative to his rhythm and flow. But so far, so good for Stanton, who started off spring a little bit slow. But his numbers right now look pretty damn good over 39 plate appearances. We're really optimistic that he's going to have a really solid season, at least a bounce back compared to what his numbers were last year. And if he plays well, this Yankee lineup is going to be something of urban legend. Ryan, how are you feeling right now about Stanton? What you saw from him yesterday, 3 home runs in a row. We're very, very excited about his bounce back and hopeful, impact in 2024.
Yeah, this feels like a make it or break it season for Giancarlo Stanton. And as you alluded to, you know, there is a lot of questions and kind of, I guess the best way to put it is there's a lot of uncertainty regarding what Giancarlo Stanton is going to be on this team. Not just now, but I mean, in about 4 months, I'd say more like 2 months when Jason Dominguez comes back. That guy's an animal. it feels like the timeline for his return gets like closer every single time. It's like, oh yeah, sometime in the summer. Oh yeah, no, sometime in June. Oh no, he should be taking rehab games at some point in like April, and he could be back in May. It's like, okay, he's gonna be back sooner rather than later. And that definitely complicates things for Giancarlo Stanton, who really can't afford to get off to a super slow start. Now, he can have a bad April and I won't really care. I'll care when like May and June comes around. Look, guys, first month stats, that stuff doesn't stabilize. The best thing I would look at to kind of give you guys ease or kind of like rationality with that stuff is Anthony Rizzo had more home runs than Aaron Judge in 2022 after the month of April. Aaron Judge had the AL home run record that year. So, he wasn't even leading his own team in home runs that season, much less the entire American League all time in the history of the league. But with that being said, when you look at Stanton, obviously the spring training results, I'm not going to start sitting here and saying, oh yeah, he'll be back because he has a 170 WRC plus in spring training. But when you look at the underlying metrics, there is a lot to like. He's making more contact. The quality of contact is better. And I don't just mean hitting the ball hard. That hasn't been Giancarlo Stanton's problem. Giancarlo Stanton hits the ball hard. He'll hit the ball hard even when he's not playing well. I mean more so in terms of launch angle distribution. And I think that gets so overlooked when we're talking about quality of contact. Everybody thinks that analytics are all about just, oh, quality of contact is just measured by how hard you hit the ball. Well, yeah, that matters, but the placement of the ball, how high off the ground the ball is being hit, the direction in which the ball is being hit, that all matters. And data supports that, right? This is an analytical thought process. That is, analytics aren't, you should do this. Analytics are just data and a tool we use to help us draw conclusions. And when we look at guys who generate launch angles between 8 and 32 degrees frequently, they typically hit for higher averages, have higher BABIPs, which is just your batting average on balls in play, and as a result, guys with higher averages and BABIPs end up with higher OBPs, and end of the day, we want guys to get on base and hit for power. If we can do both of those things really well, we're going to have a really good hitter. I mean, name every like elite upper echelon hitter you can think of in the league. They usually do either one or both of those things at an elite level, right? Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Ronald Acuna Jr., Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Matt Olson, guys of those natures, their OBPs are strong and their slugging rates are strong. Now, Stan can hit the ball as hard as all of them, if not harder, but his average has really been a problem. He's hitting, what, like 190-something, I think, last year, and he hit around 200 the year before. Not saying that average is an end-all be-all. We understand that average is only a part of your production, but when you're hitting for such a low average, it doesn't matter how much you walk, really. You're going to have a below-average OBP, and once we have a below-average OBP, we start setting ourselves up to have a pretty poor season at the plate. Now, slugging is really important, but again, if you're not getting hits, how often can you turn that into extra bases, right? Your doubles and your home runs are going to go down if you have fewer total hits, unless the percentage of your doubles and home runs dramatically increase, and that didn't happen for Stan. He didn't hit 50 home runs with a 190 average. It's not like he's Kyle Schwarbering this. That's not really him. I think that his increase in that percentage of balls hit from 8 to 32 degrees last year, and that metric is just sweet spot percentage. You want to get to the sweet spot of the barrel, right? Like it's in the name. He was in the second percentile last year in that metric at 27.4%. That explains the ridiculously low average. Right now in spring training, it's 38.6%. Again, a small sample size, but we've seen a decrease in ground balls, an increase in line drives. The fly ball rate stayed around the same, and he's still hitting the ball as hard as ever before. I think he's averaging 96.5 miles per hour in terms of exit velocity. That's ridiculous, right? So if Stanton can continue the high line drive rate, continue to kind of avoid hitting ground balls right at people, and continue to, you know, make contact the rate he's making contact at, basically, you want to summarize this to, if he can increase the quality of contact and the quantity of contact, he's going to have an elite season. And I really do think, you know, you don't see the changes with the swing, but really, he just hits the ball so hard that he just needed to make, it felt like he was just missing last year. And now he's finally clicking, and we'll wait and see if that translates to the regular season. But Alex, that could have a massive effect on this lineup, because nobody's expecting Stanton to have that big year. We're just hoping for it. That's a very different situation.
Absolutely. I mean, look, we're not expecting him to come out and offer what he did in 2020. Honestly, not even 2020. He only played 23 games. Rather, 2018, when he had, you know, played 158 games, hit 38 homers with 100 RBIs. You know, that was honestly one of his worst seasons going into that year, which is kind of funny, which we would pray. We would actually thank the gods for his 2018 season right now, when he had 266 with a 343 OBP and a 509 slugging. That would be a much improved player than comparably to what he's done recently. But what I like about Stanton is the reduction in weight. And I think that the major problem with him has been, well, we all know he's not very mobile. I don't think he's going to be playing at much defense this upcoming season. But he's so muscular, and he was so like massive, and his muscles were so big. Sometimes a lot of people say when your muscles are that big, it restricts movement and mobility, and sometimes can increase the probability of muscle strains and pulls and ligament issues. He's lost a lot of weight, but maintained his strength, maintained his bat speed. And I think that's going to allow him to stay a lot healthier, at least probability-wise. He's going to have more mobility, more flexibility. There won't be as much strain on his muscles when he's running, when he's in the batter's box. He doesn't need to be a bodybuilder to be a good baseball player. And that's what I think kind of got lost in the mix here. The Yankees were like, we need you to look like the Hulk. And he was like, and I think all of us are saying for the last couple of years, we don't need you to be, you know, lifting freaking Olympic size weights. We need you to be hitting home runs and getting on base and staying healthy, right? I think we're going to see a lot more of that this year, because he's stepped away from the bodybuilder physique and more towards the athlete physique. He looks a lot faster. He looks more comfortable out there. He looks like a better player. And God knows the power is staying around, because he hit those three homers and he launched the crap out of him yesterday. So first and foremost, I think physically he's in a better spot. Now, talking about the mental aspect of Giancarlo Stanton, I mean, I remember last year when he hit, what did he hit, a 600 home run or some crazy number. What was he? He has, I don't even know how many home runs he has in his entire career, but he has a lot of them, right? He has 402. So last year, his 400th home run, and he was being booed earlier that game. He struck out a couple times, and then he goes out, he gets a standing ovation. And it's kind of like this slap in the face, standing ovation, like I hit 400 home runs, but the entire stadium was booing me for the first two strikeouts. You know, I feel like that does play a part in your mental makeup as a player. Joey Gallo couldn't handle it. You know what I mean? Like, there's guys on this team that just could not handle being a Yankee. And I think Stanton has done a pretty good job staying in his own right, but there's a confidence level that you need to be an elite-level player. Juan Soto has stupendous amounts of confidence. Gerrit Cole has a lot of confidence. Aaron Judge has a lot of confidence. But I'd argue that Stanton lost a lot of that because, you know, not only could he stay, he was failing to stay healthy, but, you know, he just was getting booed every single time he stepped up to the plate. If he plays well and he starts to see the ball and he's getting on base, he's hitting home runs, he's doing his usual stuff, the fans are going to cheer him. He's going to feel good. He's going to have the support of the fan base. And I think that's going to help him a lot mentally. So not only physically is he going to get better, but Ryan, how do you feel about the mental component of his makeup and really how he get back into feeling like he's a good ball player again? Because I feel like maybe hasn't felt like that over the last 2 years. And the booing, the negative attention, the hostility, I think, you know, showing him a little love, getting him some cheers and stuff early in the season may give him a lot of confidence, especially if he can maintain that health variable.
Yeah, so I'm going to just float this out here now. If Giancarlo Stanton has, like, a successful season or, like, gets going, as you mentioned, like, kind of gets the ball rolling and kind of, you know, gets back to that standpoint of, yeah, I'm that guy. You know, I think of that quote he had against when he was about to hit that home run off of Darwin Hernandez against the Red Sox, that grand slam, that iconic home run. And you kind of think about, he was talking about what he was thinking before he got up to the plate, and was like, you better not face me. Like, he better not pitch to me. Like, I better not get up to that plate. And when he did damage. There's one thing that I think a lot of people overlook when it comes to Giancarlo Stanton, and it's that when he's on, he's terrifying. I mean, that is a guy who is stoic, who kind of just takes all the boos. He's accountable, all that stuff. Guys, that doesn't just go into the ether. That anger, that disappointment, that frustration, it doesn't just disappear. He's not a robot. He's a human being. That gets stored somewhere, and I don't want to imagine where that frustration gets placed upon if he's on a roll when he's hitting the ball. Because if you're an opposing pitcher, the last thing you want to face is a confident and angry Giancarlo Stanton. This is a Giancarlo Stanton who has basically spent the last 365 days being made fun of. And he is one of the most talented players in the world. He is one of the best at what he does. He is a professional. He has made tons of money doing this. Like, these players have pride, right? Like, they have pride in what they do. They take great pride in being successful. They take great pride in being great at what they do. The same way that every single one of us would take offense or take it, you know, kind of, okay, we'll prove you wrong in a sense. If you were to hear that somebody doesn't think you're that good or to get made fun of, especially on a grand stage, to become almost a joke. Giancarlo Stanton, I will say this. Look, I don't think, like, statistical trends would tell me to bet against a rebound because aging player, career worst year last year, doesn't have a great defensive profile, doesn't have a good base running profile, actually has one of the worst base running profiles in the league. I should bet against this player. And then there's that part of me that knows how Giancarlo Stanton has always reacted to pressure and responded to pressure, and kind of, I guess, having a twinge of fear every time I say it, almost. And this fear that, man, I might be wrong about this, that he might be the anomaly. He spent his entire career as an anomaly. You know, you talk about the physique. Yeah, he is better built to play baseball. This isn't to say he was in bad shape before. I mean, the guy's body fat percentage was ridiculously low. It's not like he wasn't athletic or in good shape. It may just not have been baseball shape. And that might be the key difference there. All I have to say really is, given how hard he can hit the baseball, given his track record in the postseason, given the improvements we've kind of seen in spring training, immediately after the game, he doesn't go, oh yeah, I hit three home runs, guys, that's pretty fucking cool, huh? He was like, yeah, this stuff's gonna get wiped away in a week, who cares, right? Like, I think opposing pitchers should be very terrified of a world in which Yankees have Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and then a Giancarlo Stanton that has everything to prove and has about a year of frustration to take out on a baseball. Because that type of runtime, that kind of lineup, that kind of fear factor. I mean, again, Soto and Judge are better hitters than Giancarlo Stanton. But kind of like in 2021, where Judge was the better hitter, the guy who steps up the most in the biggest spots, though, the guy you want when your season's on the line, has consistently been Giancarlo Stanton. In 2020, he single-handedly brought the Yankees to that Game 5 against the Rays. They were not better than the Rays in any regard. J.A. Happ and Davey Garcia were their Game 2 starters. The Rays had Morton, Snell, and Glasnow. Like, they were going to mop the Yankees, and Stanton single-handedly kept them in that series. You think of the 2021, that end of that series season, the Yankees were struggling and stumbling down the stretch. And then Stanton goes God mode in that Red Sox and Blue Jays series, and the Yankees get back into a position where they only need to win one game against the Rays to get into the postseason. In 2022, backs are against the wall. You had that stretching. You go play Cleveland at Cleveland. You blow that game in Game 3. It's a heartbreaker. You win Game 4, and then in Game 5, you need somebody to set the tone, and Giancarlo Stanton sets the tone. Whenever the Yankees have needed a big home run, Giancarlo Stanton has stepped up to the plate and given them a big home run. And now the Yankees need Giancarlo Stanton more than they've ever needed him to step up, because if he can, the Yankees are going to go a very long way. And I'm scared that opposing pitchers are not going to be ready for a Giancarlo Stanton who is very ready to prove a lot of people wrong, including myself, who sat here all winter and said, I don't think he's that good anymore. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong that he's not that good anymore. I hope I'm that he's able to just find it, because that lineup, it's just terrifying. You can't pitch to them. You just can't pitch to that kind of lineup. So yeah, Alex, it's just the fear factor. That's really what it is to me. And it would feel like being the Yankees again, having these terrifying sluggers who you just can't pitch to. I feel like we've gotten away from that in recent years. Even the 2022 team, it was Judge and then like a lot of good and solid hitters. Nah, I want a dominant lineup. I want to beat the crap out of people. I want to be mean. Like Aaron Hicks talked about having that FU energy. They didn't have that FU energy. They didn't. They just, they go play Houston. Houston sweeps them. they stumble down the stretch. They let teams routinely pants them and kind of mock them in a sense, right? I'm tired of that. I'm tired of teams mocking the Yankees. I'm tired of teams coming to New York and winning a series. The Red Sox win the division and win the ALDS and route to a World Series in 2018. In 2019, the Astros take our lunch money in two of the three games in the ALCS. In 2020, obviously, we didn't play at home in the postseason, but the Rays beat the shit out of the Yankees at home. In 2021, I mean, again, you just get your chain snatched by the Red Sox in the first half. In 2022, the Astros dance on your field after beating you in two straight and sweeping you and beating you in the fourth straight postseason matchup you guys have faced off against each other. And in 2023, you basically take a dump in your pants all season. So I'm tired of the Yankees getting walked over. And I think Stanton's, he's got to turn it around. I know I'm kind of ranting here and I'm getting a little worked up, but I think Stanton, he's the difference maker for me. If he really steps up, man, I don't think the Yankees are going to get walked over this year. I don't care who gets hurt. I don't care what other teams have. I got Judge, Soto, Stanton, and Stanton that's clicking. We're beating anybody.
Yeah, no, you're spot on. And the truth is, I think I like what you say about this team needs to get back to, you know, hitting the crap out of the baseball and being intimidating. Right now, if Aaron Judge and Soto alone, like imagine a lineup. And by the way, I am highly trending in the direction of I want Anthony Volpe leading off to start the year. I know that last year wasn't great. I know that, you know, we want to see more. But what the changes he's made this offseason, what he's shown in spring training, spring training, take it with a grain of salt. I want to give Volpe the chance to prove it, and I want to give it to him because DJ LeMahieu is probably going to be hurt on opening day. So I think you give Volpe the chance. If he runs with it, if he starts hitting well, leave him there. Don't move him. I think he deserves a shot just to that lead off. And I think that him on base is going to be a problem with Judge and Soto right behind him. So, but think about that. You know, Judge, Soto, their intimidation factor. Pitchers are already like, I got to find a way to get through those two guys. Then having Stanton batting at a really high level again, you can't get through him. And then you have Rizzo after that and Gleyber Torres. Like, you know, this lineup could be really freaking special. So I'm excited, guys. We'll see what happens. Really, really interested to see Giancarlo Stanton's progress. We'll keep you guys updated on that front and the metrics as always. Make sure to leave your comments down in the YouTube comment section. Make sure to like and subscribe. And we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode.